Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
I want to know, would you judge a mother for kicking her troubled son out of the house? Because I read this heartbreaking dilemma online. And take a listen. Sorry, I thought it was an email. It's actually from online. It says, am I a bad mother? I'm a single mum of 17 years of age. His dad left us when I was a baby and never had any contact with either of us. I've worked hard to provide a good home for us. Up to the age of 15, he was a loving, kind and respectful person. Then he discovered marijuana and things went downhill. He left school with few qualifications, started and left college, began and quit traineeships, was fired from apprenticeships. He self-harms when under extreme stress. I've sought help from everywhere, and now he gets support from two professionals. But he honestly can't see anything wrong with weed and blames everything else for things that have gone wrong in his life. He says the help he gets is pointless. When I see him sleeping, I weep because he looks so helpless and I just want to hold him. Then I'm angry because my home smells and he's brought drugs into my life. For the past 3 weeks, we've lived as strangers, as he's out by the time I come in and come home from work and doesn't return until after I've gone to bed. I've reached the point where I'm counting the days until he's 18 so I can throw him out. I feel so guilty as I love him so much from the day he was born, but I don't have the strength to live with a drug addict. Now, when she says a drug addict, he's smoking weed and he is a drug addict. And people will come up with this, oh, you don't get addicted to weed now. Oh, you do. Oh, you do. And I've seen numerous studies in relation to this. You might not be physically addicted to it, but you are. Most people, firstly, use it in tobacco and or use it with tobacco, which is addictive in itself. And nicotine is addictive. And also there's a psychological addiction to it. You become reliant on using it. It becomes part of your life. For example, gambling, which we spoke about yesterday, is not physically addictive, but it's psychologically addictive. And so is weed. So is smoking weed. That's why I would not be in favour of legalising it like everybody else seems to be. But anyway, that's a whole other argument. But what do you think of this situation? Some people would say that the son needs to be kicked out because he's bringing turmoil on the poor mother. However, others would say that kicking him out with an addiction is a little bit cruel and that mother should get him help. I want to know what you would do in that situation. If it was you, would you kick your child out because they brought drugs into the home? Or indeed drink if they were an alcoholic? Would you kick them out? Or do you think there's something wrong for any parent? Do you think there's something wrong with any parent who would kick their child out? I want to get your thoughts. I mean, would you judge a parent if they kicked their own child out of the house? Now, when I say child, she is waiting till he's 18 years of age. So he's not quite a child. He's not a minor. So he is still a teenager. But would you actually put your child out of the house if they were smoking weed constantly and destroying their life? And by the way, statistics back up what she's saying. In the United States, they've done a huge amount of research into the smoking of weed in college. And the vast majority of those who smoke weed in college, or the vast majority of those who drop out in college, are people who have smoked weed. It's not just a coincidence. Because they lose interest in their studies. Not all, but some will lose interest in their studies. So he says, bull, it's not addictive. Oh, fair enough. You have your opinion, pal. Go look at the research, all right, when they talk about psychological addiction. Smoking it with tobacco. Look at you all, you weed smokers, defending yourselves here today. Smoking it with tobacco does make you addicted to tobacco. Without tobacco, it's not addictive. No, of course not. So the high that you get from it, or the feeling that you get from it, is not psychologically addictive. Are you delusional? Of course it's psychologically addictive. Like anything else that gives us pleasure, food can be psychologically addictive because it gives you pleasure. When you eat ice cream, it can be psychological, or chocolate, they say, can be psychologically addictive because it sends endorphins around your body and all that kind of stuff. Of course it's psychologically addictive. The number is 087-188-0008. The question I'm asking you is she right to put her own son out of the house, or should she be offering him more support? Now remember, of course, he's dropped out of college. He's left some of the qualifications, left with very few qualifications from school. He's dropped out of traineeships and an apprenticeship. And he's self-harming. And she believes the turning point in his life is when he started smoking weed. That's her observation. The number is 087-188-0008. Is she a bad mother? Donald, you're not Ireland's classic kids. How you doing, Donald?
How you doing? Are you enjoying the weather?
Ah, yes. Are you out walking?
I was out walking this morning, yeah. We have the lovely countryside, not like you, walking the big smoke up there.
All right. Did you walk? Around, did you have an old walk around the quarry, yeah?
No. That dog will never see a quarry again. The fact, if that dog even mentions the quarry, he's going straight to the bed.
Why does
And I do love him, but there you go.
Why does he go? Does he go runners when he goes to the quarry, yeah?
Christ, yeah, he breaks my milk. Yeah, but sure, look, he is what he is. What can you do with him?
Well, Donald, getting back to the story, I mean, yeah. is she right to throw him out?
Oh, yeah. I have no doubts about it. He wants to make adult decisions. Mm-hmm. Look, I feel sorry for the young fella if he's hooked on drugs. I really do. Like, but what's happening at the moment with that young fella, especially the age, he's in bad company. And he's in company that's telling him, listen, we're your friends. She's not your friend. She doesn't care about you. We're your friends. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so he's rebelling.
Yeah, he has to wake up to reality. And he's going... warning him. He's never going to accept a warning. And I can... the poor woman, I say she's warning him. Oh, I'm good. The day's going to come. I'm going to throw you out. It's like a child when you warn a child.
But what happens is when I do these topics, I have people who smoke weed. And fair play to them. If that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. I couldn't care less what they do with their lives. Yeah. But they start defending themselves with anecdotal stories. Like, for example, somebody just sent me in a message here. Working full-time, 8 years, fully qualified, passed my exams, no problem. How can I hold down a job? So if it's ruined all these people's lives, you're talking crap.
Exactly.
And I'm clearly not talking crap because addiction services will tell you all about it. That person is delusional. Yeah. But mind you, they could be qualified, they could be holding down a job, and fair play to them.
I've heard the same story from people that's on cocaine. Hey, you'd be surprised people that take cocaine or drink is a worse drug. Or it's all crap. Like, but I don't think the issue is so much drugs. She feels frightened in her home. Nobody should feel frightened in her own home. Nobody. And if she's scared of her young fella, what he might do, that can't be right. Like, if that was her husband or her boyfriend, she would think twice about getting a bar or getting him out. Mm-hmm. So why should she think any different?
Yeah, but some people are of the opinion that, oh, she should support him. He's only 18 years of age. He is her son. He's just going through a bad patch, you know, and he needs support, not to be abandoned.
Yeah. But Niall, that's what's going on. Niall, would your mother or father put up with it when you were growing up?
No.
Mine wouldn't.
No, not
that's
at all.
The problem is.
Oh, if my
that's
father thought problem. I was... By the way, I was smoking weed between the age of 18 and 21. And I came off it because of those very reasons that I felt like I was losing concentration, etc., etc. Yeah. But if my father had caught me, you know, with weed in the house, I would have been kicked from one end of the house to the other and out the door.
You see, that's the problem now. That young fella, as far as he's... I know for a fact what's going on in his head. His mother has warned him, and I feel so sorry for the poor woman because he doesn't care. He hasn't an ounce of respect for her. And it's because of the drugs, it's because of the company, it's because of his hormones, whatever it is. But I'm sick of all this crap I'm hearing about teenage hormones. We all went through it. I went through puberty myself. I wouldn't want to go through it again for nothing.
Yeah, you go through a lot of changes in your life very quickly, yes. Yeah.
I mean, I thought my father was an old man in that he doesn't understand the thing and everything else.
Yeah.
And Oscar Wilde said it. And then, you get older and finally he understands, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the way we all feel about our parents, that they don't know what they're talking about, but yet we don't seem to understand that they've been on this planet a lot longer than we have.
Exactly, and when we turn out the bat water, we turn out the baby as well. There's a lot of things changing this country further on.
Stay there for a second. I want to go to Jonathan as well. Stay there, Donald. Jonathan, you're an Ireland's classic kid. How are you doing, Jonathan?
How are we keeping it nice?
Good, Jonathan. Now, I don't know where you are. You're down a tunnel there, Jonathan.
No.
Okay. Sorry, your phone was a bit rattly there. Okay, Jonathan, is she right to put him out?
So how call, like, if she gave him that many chances and he didn't take it, you know, what other route is she meant to go, like?
Well, he's just destroying his life, Jonathan.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, you see the weed these days. Mm-hmm. It's not weed, like. It's not weed. Young fellas don't know what they're smoking.
Right, okay. And what do you mean? There's all sorts of impurities in it.
Yeah. All sorts of sprays, everything, the whole lot. It's not weed. It's not like in the 90s and the 80s and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, it's different, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, you know what? Like... That hash leads and weed leads to bigger drugs, like. I don't care what anybody says it, though.
And would you smoke it yourself, John?
Before, but not no more.
Not anymore. And why did you stop?
Because they say it's not good for your head. Make a paranoid and all that. And
it can cause paranoia and psychosis.
Of course it can. It leads on to all other drugs. Ecstasy, LSD, heroin, cocaine, the whole lot. Mm. And if that young fella gets kicked out in the street, he's probably going to end up on that, you know?
Well, there is some research that suggests that it's a gateway drug. Others will disagree with that, mind you. But however,
look. I know what I'm talking about. I ain't smoking hash a long time and weed a long time, and believe me, that's what I started off smoking.
Yeah. And did you move on to anything else, Jonathan?
I did. I moved on to ecstasy and all that kind of thing. And thank God I kept away from heroin and all that shit. Yeah. Like, no, it could have easily happened.
Right, okay. And are you finished with it all now, yeah?
Yeah. All right, yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Would you still have a drink?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, she needs to talk to him a little bit more about it. What, give him an ultimatum?
Yeah. Before it's too late. He'll wake up and he's talking and, you know what?
I get the impression that, you know, she's talking to him all the time. I get the impression she's giving him ultimatums regularly here and he's just not listening. He's just not taking it in, you know?
Yeah, I know, it's hard for kids, like it's hard for young people. You know, they do think they know it all and all that. And,
yeah.
You know, oh, the hash is nothing, the weed is nothing, you know?
Yeah.
It is, like, it fucking is. Simple as that, like.
What's your language there, Jonathan? Jonathan believes his mother should give him an ultimatum.
Yes, but I'm sure she has, and I think we need to move away from this hash thing, we have to pay for it. We're paying for a liberal society. That's what we're doing here, Because this wouldn't have been tolerated, as you said, years ago. A parent wouldn't have tolerated it.
No.
So why should we tolerate it now?
Well, that's what I said to you. If my father had caught me, he'd have battered me.
And do you think he would have been right now when you look back?
Well, look, absolutely in hindsight, yeah.
Yes, well, you turned out fairly
well. Not to batter me, obviously, but certainly to chastise me for it, yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, but just, that's what I'm saying, we're paying for all this now, and we're going to constantly pay for this liberal society with all. Like, what's that young fella doing for money? Wait. That's the first thing that should be done. He should be cut off completely. Not, she should just feed him. That's it.
That's actually, you know, a good point. Where is he getting the money for all this weed? Stay there for a second, because Eileen, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Eileen?
Hi, Niall.
Eileen, what should this mother do? Is she right to basically put him out of the house? She said she can't wait. She's waiting for the day, or counting the days till he's 18. He's 17 at the moment, so she can throw him out.
Yeah, well, what I do, because I have 5 kids, and what I would do is, first of all, my kids know that if they go near any kind of drugs, I've already warned them. That they would be battered.
Right, okay, so, fair enough.
But because he's already doing it, that's what I would do. I'd walk him with a stick, give him a few raps of that, then I'd have a talk with him when he calmed down after and tell him if he does it again, he's out. And I'd offer him, does he need help or anything to try and get off it? And if he just continued it, then I'd just put him out.
Well, you can see what it's done to this young fella's life. It's changed his life, destroyed his life.
Well, that's why I'd give him the option after I give him a few raps, because he's already been warned if he was my kid. But
And how old are you? How old are your kids?
My oldest daughter is 21.
Okay.
And I have an 18 and a 19-year-old, and then I have 2 younger children.
And there's no doubt that your kids, who are all of a good age now at this stage, there's no doubt they've probably been offered drugs.
Well, probably, but they know if they ever touch it, because I know people that I don't disagree with. Cannabis, and I think medical oil and all that should be approved.
Yeah.
But I told my kids, if I ever see them taking it, I will batter them, and they know that's the truth, because I love them a lot.
Okay, so you got to be cruel to be kind, is what you're saying.
Well, just like our parents, just like my parents would have done to me if they see me doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And I'm the oldest of 8, and most of us, well, all of us, have good manners and very good people, so I don't see anything wrong with it.
So the moment you found, you know, a bag of cannabis in the house, they'd be out the door. That's it. Well, you'd give them a good hiding, tell them they can't do it again. If they continue to do it, they'd be out the door.
That's right. And I'd offer them help after I give them a good beating. I'd say, now, do you need help to get off this, or are you going to get off it by yourself?
Well, I'm certainly not condoning the beating, but certainly children should be chastised and they need to be disciplined. I absolutely agree with that.
Kill them.
Yeah.
But just the way it used to be years ago, like, they know my feelings on this. I don't want them destroying their lives, and I wouldn't stand by and allow it. And I'd beat their friends as well if they were around.
That's a fair point, Jonathan, isn't it? I mean, your parents are not your best friends. They're not meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, kids, you'll be thinking all sorts and everything, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, listen, like, as your man said there, your man said, what's he doing for the money? Like, you can't label the young fella like that. Like, can't label him like a criminal or a thief or whatever. Like, maybe he's stupid and he's getting on credit, you know, the way drug dealers are.
Oh, yeah, he could. Well, that's even worse again if he's doing that.
That's worse again. That's what I'm saying. They'll give him as much as he wants. And maybe the poor mother could get a knock at the door in a month or 2 times saying, the young fella is fucking 2,000 or 3,000 euros. What's he going to do then, you know?
Absolutely. So just watch your language there, Jonathan. I understand. Sometimes you just people naturally do it. They forget they're on the radio. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Got to go to a quick break. If you want to give us a call, you can. What would you do in this situation? As a parent, if your 18-year-old or 17-year-old was coming close to 18 like this mother and was just smoking weed constantly. He seems to be smoking in the house. He shouldn't be allowed to do that. Her house, her rules. He should be at the door. What would you do? Eileen said, absolutely, chastisement. A good rap on the knuckles, so to speak. And be told, that's it. Get that out of this house. And if I see it in this house, or I see you smoking it again, you're out of the house. Donald feels the same way. That's what we would have done years ago. But nowadays, Donald thinks there's a kind of softly approach to all these things. Let me know what you think. What would you do in this mother's situation? Would you support him? Would you get him more help and more support? Or would you be sick of it at this stage and so say, sorry? Let me go to Rory as well. Rory in Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you doing, Rory?
All right, Niall, what's happening, bud?
Good. Well, you're not going to be talking about life hacks. You're going to be talking about life itself, I suppose, more so, Rory, to be honest.
Life itself, yeah. And, Niall, I just want to say it too, but it's nice to speak to you. I listened to you a lot. I've listened to you now a lot the last couple of years, but I've never contacted the show, like, you know.
Oh, well, I'm delighted to have you on the air, Rory. Thanks very much.
Well, I am a big fan, like, you know, because I like it. It's just, a lot of us just know real bull, you know. But anyway, we'll get on. What were you saying?
Okay, getting back to this kid who's on the drugs and his mother's going to put him out. Is she doing the right thing by putting him out of the house?
Like, I can see, like, I'm only 26, Niall, right?
Okay.
I've been through a lot, man. What you're just saying, you know, I've been through that, like, you know, but I'm kind of out to the side of it now, but I still smoke. I clarified that straight away. I still do smoke, but...
And what do you just smoke, still smoking hash, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, but I can see both sides of the story there, but, like...
And sorry for interrupting you, Rory, but when did you start smoking hash? What age were you?
When I was about 20, 21.
Okay, and...
Yeah, like, I didn't smoke fags or nothing until I was about 20, 21.
Okay, and do you think it did any damage to your life?
The weed does. Like, honestly, it probably does, and it doesn't. Like, there's for and against, like, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, give me... I know what the for is. It makes you feel good, okay. But give me the against. What do you reckon are the downsides to it?
Like, my downside would be to it, I'd rather not smoke it and not... do anything and just be healthy like everybody else, like, but everyone has their niche, like, you know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's my niche. Like, I don't gamble. I don't fucking, sorry for the language, I don't drink. You know what I mean? I used to drink, like, I used to do all of that, but I don't no more, like, you know, I don't really do very much of my life now. I'm just, like, I'm back doing a trade now again. It's the second trade I'm doing in my life, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when I was a young fella, when everything was good, basically, when I got to 24, 23, I got locked up for a while and whatever.
And what do you, if you don't mind me asking, what did you get locked up for?
Assault.
Okay.
Assault.
What led you down the path of being a little bit of a boyo? I mean, what led you down that path?
Like, when you say a boyo, your opinion of a boyo or my opinion of a boyo, like, I know what you're picturing in your head, and I'd have the same opinion as you, like, when it comes to fellas like that. Like, I wouldn't judge, you know that, but I wouldn't be the typical type of fella.
Yeah.
Wanting to say if you've seen me, like, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? But, like, I was the type of fella, like, I grew up fucking, like,
everybody else. Watch your language here, Rory, watch your language.
I grew up like everybody else, blah, blah, blah. We all have histories and the whole lot, like, but I come from a good house called good everything by walking father there, done everything for us the whole lot.
Yeah.
Like, that was I think it was just in me myself. Like, it's like, it just happens, like, you know, yeah, it's like a dog, sees a cat, it just comes out of you, like, you know.
I know, I'm not judging you, Rory. I'm not judging you. I mean, look, you know, we all make mistakes in life.
Basically, I'm a grand fella, right? And that's why I don't drink no more. I'm a grand fella. And when I had a few drinks and, you know, whatever, I used to get myself into a lot of fucking trouble.
So. Well, okay, so it was basically when you were getting in trouble because you were just drinking too much.
I'm like anybody, yeah. I'm after calm down an awful lot now. Like, I wouldn't even need drink anyway. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? I'd never look for trouble or nothing like that.
And what do you do now? Are you working a trade now?
Yeah.
Good man. Well, I hope that continues. And, you know, I'd like to see you getting off, obviously, smoking the weed as well, if you could do it. And have you stopped drinking?
I haven't drunk since the day I got locked up.
Good.
Today I got arrested on a Friday, brought to court on a Monday, remanded, and I done a 3-year sentence, and I haven't drunk since then. But that's, like, my opinion, Niall, right? If a person, like, I'm smart enough, and I'm in, like, I've been around everything, but take my word for it, like, I'm not a fool, like, you know. like, you fellas on the show there, Niall, by they're 40 or 50 years of age, and they're trying to talk about a young fella today who's 18. They don't have a clue, bud. I'm telling you, by I'm 26, bud. They don't have a clue. You'd know what is going through that young fella's head today. You'd know what's going through it. Have you walked to any major city lately? Have you walked through any... have you walked to any city centre? I'm in Cork City here, but, and I swear to God, I done my trade as a butcher when I was 18, I used to work in English Market there. I've never, like, when I was back, this is 10 years ago almost now, right?
Mm.
I've never seen so many homeless and so many, like, people on the draw. I wouldn't call a person a junkie, because I think when you label somebody...
And why do you think that is?
Like, I don't know, it's the society we're living in, like. You know,
but yeah, but the society hasn't changed too much, and you know, there's financially no reason for that, because there's money available, be it on social welfare, whatever it is, for everybody. So yeah. Why do you think people have? I'm not saying people choose to be homeless, but why do you think people have gone down that path? I mean, why suddenly in the last 10 years has that got so bad?
Nobody. Like, the drug problem first of all, blah blah blah.
Drugs is the problem, isn't it?
The price of houses. The price you're getting paid, like, how can an ordinary person do anything with only getting minimum wage or getting, you know?
Yeah, but the price, Rory, 10 years ago, the price of houses, well, certainly 15 years ago, they're higher than they were now.
Listen to me, like, I can't tell you the reason why. But
is it drugs? Is it drugs, Rory?
If anybody out there who's listening to the show, I know, right? If there's honestly a person out there who can say that, if they walk through town or walk through any town in the country and it's not after getting worse and they... And you, like, I'm a fella, like, I can tell you the truth. Like, I'm in there, and you can see open drug dealing and all that, like, and you can see what's happening. Like, if I can see it, everyone else can see it, or else they all have the blinkers on. Like, you know what I mean? You're walking past all men there by their 60s, they're on the floor with their two eyes roving around them, black and blue. Like, what's going on there, like?
But I mean, we've been talking about a pandemic for the last year and a half. I mean, the other pandemic that we seem to forget about is the drugs, which is an epidemic, certainly.
Well, yeah.
It's an epidemic. Drugs in this country has become a huge problem.
Yeah, it has, Neil. And it's
destroying young fellas' lives, well, particularly young men's lives, but a lot of women too.
Neil, I'm an honest fella, right? You're an honest fella. There's a lot of honest people out there, but there's more who aren't honest. And there's a lot of people listening to your show here today, who, like, in some way, shape or form, they are being touched by drugs, but they might even admit it, like, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, even you definitely know somebody who takes drugs, like, you know what I mean? We all do, like, you don't have to go far to see it.
No, I know. And by the way, just because, you know, you might be, I mean, I know people in media who hold down good jobs who are taking cocaine.
Like, I've held...
You know what I mean? And I know, you know, so just because you're taking drugs doesn't make you a scumbag.
Like, I'm the same. I've always held down a good job. I've done my trade as a butcher before. I worked for a big company when he was saying the name. I worked there for years up until the day I got arrested and remanded. And then I got out, and thank God, I kind of didn't want to go back to do the same job, so I'm going to do something else now, and I'm delighted with it.
And by the way, just a quick question for you, Rory, because I have to move on, but when you were in prison for 3 years, the 3 years you spent in jail, did that make you not want to ever go back to jail again?
Basically, no, Neil, right? And this is the truth, man. This is coming from a normal, ordinary fella, but I'm not a fool either, like... If any fella goes into prison, yeah, it, like, depends. Like, if a fella goes in there now and he gets a big, big sentence or whatever, like, blah, 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 that's going to change him. But if any fella goes in there, like, any young fella goes in there and he doesn't learn, like, you know, fuck, like, this...
Watch the language, sorry, Dory.
No, if he doesn't learn to himself, like, this isn't worth it, you know, like, I consider myself a smart fella, but I'm not really smart, but I'm smart enough to know I don't want to be going back in there, you know what I'm saying, no matter what.
But that's the point I'm making. Did it work? Did prison actually work? Did it give you the shock to your system that said, I don't want to do that again?
It's not worth it, like, you know what I'm saying?
No, you're right, it's not. But look, Rory, I have to move on. Listen, Rory, thanks very much indeed, and good luck with your life, Rory. So I have to go to John as well, just before I finish. John, you're an Ireland's classic. How are you doing, John?
Hi, how are you?
John, is she doing the right thing, putting him out, 18 years of age?
100%, yeah. You have to, because, like, not that it's on her, but you're facilitating. Why would he stop if he has a safe place to go home to? Why would he stop? Like, when you're in addiction, you have to hit rock bottom before you realize, like, you've no other option but to stop. So you have a choice at a certain time to stop. But if you're being facilitated, not in the sense that it's her fault, but if there's an option there for him to be at home, have access to money, why would he stop? There's no, if you're in the midst of an addiction, you're never going to stop. If you still have access to money, if you still have access to somewhere.
The problem is, you know, if you love your child and they're 18 years of age, and you're, the day you put them out that door, you're going to be worried sick about them.
But at the very same time, I'm a former addict. I'm 32. I'm 10 years free from addiction. So I was very young. I know what it's like. And I agree with Rory on that as well. When I went into addiction rooms, everyone in the addiction rooms are older. everyone in there is in their 40s and 50s where they got it too late. So, like, that's, I think, is a big problem in Ireland where the parents are too soft on their kids. And they're going, oh, I don't want to take a chance. I don't want... That didn't happen to me. I was able to get the help, but I needed to realise myself. Mm-hmm. I was told for...
And how, sorry, can I ask you how old you were? Because it was alcohol you were addicted to. How old were you?
It was gambling. It was gambling. And I was 22.
Oh, gambling. So probably, oh, sorry.
Yeah, I gambled. Like, and I actually think, like, all addictions are the same, but, you know, if you're smoking weed, it's seen. If you're alcohol, it's seen. If you're gambling, it's hidden. And I think mentally it's worse. Like, they're all equal. They're all horrible addictions.
You were very young to be addicted to gambling, weren't you? Well, although we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, I lost everything. And I had no... I hit my rock bottom and I had a choice. Do I stop?
And how much were you spending a week?
Oh, like, I mean, I was 22. I think I'd lost... I owed about €40,000. Of like,
oh my,
I've lost and owed that amount of money, and I didn't have that money at that age. I had money, but I borrowed, I had debt, and I got into a situation where I literally had no other option but to stop. So, like, and when I did it, I could keep going until I probably like committed suicide, or I could, you know, at the end of the line. But no one in my life could have told me at the time. You know, it's like if you're trying to really quit cigarettes, you could turn around and say, "Oh, you know, that's going to kill you." The smoker or an addict isn't going to listen to that until they realise themselves. You can't tell someone to stop unless they make the decision to stop. Yeah. And like, if you're going to have a house to go home to, why would he stop?
You're right. I mean, I smoke, and it's like any other addiction. And nobody will tell me to give up cigarettes until I decide to give them up. And I did decide them on a few occasions. I've given them up a few times. Yeah. But it's entirely up to me.
Yeah, no, I could sit here for an hour and tell you everything that's wrong with cigarettes and it won't change your mind, because I'm the exact same as you, in the same situation.
I only have to look at the packet, for God's sake, and I can tell you what's wrong with cigarettes.
Exactly. But it's like, it's the fear of quitting. That is the thing with cigarettes, for me and you, it's the fear of quitting. I know, because I've overcome addiction before, I could quit cigarettes in the morning if I wanted to. But I think it's the one thing I kind of hold on to that I can just smoke. I am in the middle of trying to quit, but... It's the fear. It's just like the fear of stopping with drugs or drink or gambling. It's that mental fear in your head of, well, like, and it makes me feel better.
Is there also a fear too? Because when I was off the cigarettes for 3 years, I had a bit of a life-changing moment going back about 4.5 years ago, kind of put me back on the cigarettes again. But and I don't know why I kind of felt that was a crutch to go back to. But either way, is there a fear with you, John, that there's always that day that you think that you might go back to gambling again? Are you in fear of that too?
No, not now. I think I stopped drinking. I didn't have a problem with drinking, but I stopped drinking when I stopped gambling, because I had a problem with gambling. But I didn't want Anthony to throw me off, so I didn't drink for 5 years. And I didn't want Anthony to put me in a situation where I wouldn't be able to protect myself. But, like, very simple thing. Now, don't even think about it. Like, I am a recovering addict. Haven't gambled in 10 years since the day I stopped. But I don't have a fear that I'll stop.
See, gambling is difficult. I mean, with alcohol, you can avoid a pub, you can avoid parties, you can avoid places where there might be a lot of alcohol around. So you can distance yourself from that kind of atmosphere. But with gambling, it's difficult to get away from, because you're watching the telly or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, the World Cup final comes on and you're going, Jesus, I could throw a tenner on Italy there, you know, or whatever. So it's hard to get away from that, isn't it?
I have a big issue as well with people blaming companies and everything like that about an advertising, because at the end of the day, I had a situation earlier on in my addiction where I was sitting in the sitting room with my father. He turned on Saturday during the day and he turned on the racing, because my father will have a 5 euro bet every week. And I got really angry and went, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. And someone else in the room said to me, you have the problem, he doesn't. So you remove yourself from the situation. Mm. So now, if the adverts are on and I'm watching football, I can watch football because I know at halftime, I just walk away from it. You're not.
But I do understand the argument at the moment, the debate that's going on at the moment around the advertising of gambling. Because gambling has increased as a problem in general. I mean, when we look at in 2019, 10 billion was spent in this country on gambling. 10 billion in a population of 5 million people is ridiculous. So there is a problem, and the advertising is not helping. So I can understand that debate. It does encourage people who've never done it to try it.
I understand. I do see the point, but it's like alcohol. It's like everything else. I actually think if the government... I've seen Michael D. Higgins was complaining about it a couple of weeks ago, and I actually think if they put more resources and money, or went to the gambling companies and put a tax on them to fund recovery centres, because I can tell you firsthand, there is 1% of recovering addicts in the country, or 2% of recovering addicts are aged 18 to 30. There's no resources or education there around addiction for that age group. And which ends up being that, like, I find myself so lucky that I got help when I did, because it ends up being that you go into a room and they're all 40, 50, 60, 70 because they got there late when they absolutely lost their families, houses, everything, where they didn't get the education.
And you feel you can't relate to that because you're a lot younger, obviously, in a very different situation. John, I'm not cutting you short, but I'm just running out of time. But I'm glad things are looking, things are good for you now.
Oh, my life completely changed.
Good. I'm glad.
I have everything that the minute I stopped and took responsibility for my life, I wasn't responsible for it beforehand, but the minute I stopped, I was. And when I had responsibility for myself, I was able to go, right, what do I want to do in my life? Now I have I was about to curse. Now I have an amazing job, an amazing life, an amazing partner. Everything I wanted. I had
good.
Everything I wanted when I was 16, 17, before addiction took over. Because as Rory said, no one chooses to be an addict. You could be a king, a queen, you could be a celebrity. It can happen to anyone. No one chooses, no matter how good or bad of a person you are, no one chooses to be an addict. But there is a choice somewhere along the way where you can stop from the addiction. When you think it's become unmanageable, uncontrollable, you have an option to get out. I'll leave it at that. And
John, listen, I hope you and your partner and everything in your future works out well for you, because you sound like a good guy. You sound like you've certainly tried very hard to get away from your past. Listen, thank you very much indeed, John.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic.